Some people are wondering if there's going to be another shakeout at some point like there was in the 90s. It's just such a proliferation of brands that the market just can't sustain them all. Like, you know, there's only so much shelf space.
There was a shakeout of craft breweries in the 90s?
Yeah. There was just, you know, sales were skyrocketing for a number of years, and then it just kind of really dipped and moderated. I think mainly there was just some bad quality beer out there. I think that was the main reason.
It seems like there's so many kinds of craft beer these days. I mean, you can get everything from a super hoppy IPA to a green tea stout to a strawberry porter. I'm curious what kinds of beers you yourself drink. I mean, do you get around to all these different kinds?
I mean, some of the really far out ones, I'm not the biggest fan of some of them because I like a well-balanced drinkable beer. But some of them, are, you know, they really just hit the mark. You know, some of those beers can be really interesting. And that's pretty unique to America, just the constant pushing of the boundaries of what would be considered a beer, you know. Different exotic ingredients, non-traditional ingredients. So craft beer in general has been increasing. Just, I think generally because beer in this country had gotten so standardized.
You mentioned that you worked for Anheuser-Busch for a while as a brewmaster.
No, my title there wasn't a brewmaster, but I worked in brewing. I worked in quality control as a supervisor, group manager as they call them. I worked in maintenance. That's where I met Florian Kuplent from Urban Chestnut. We worked together in Newark, New Jersey. That's the brewery I worked in for 12 years. I learned a lot there. So, you know, some people might say, oh, what do you learn in Anheuser-Busch? And it's a lot because you have a lot of expertise there, a lot of people with a lot of experience. But my heart was really still in a small brewery.
So you've brought a bottle with you today, and this is Omagang Abbey, which is one of the first beers the company ever made. What can you tell me about this beer?
Well, it's styled after the Belgian doubles, you know, that are produced in some of the Trappist breweries and historically in the Abbey breweries, about 8.5% alcohol. Kind of the Omagang twist is we spice a number of our beers, and this beer is spiced with things like cumin, licorice root, star anise. But very much our philosophy of spicing is kind of like the Belgian philosophy, very light hand with the spices so it blends into the beer and doesn't knock you over the head with the intensity of, say, licorice root or something like that.
All right, let's give it a shot. Wow, that is tasty.
And you get some of those dark fruits. Beers like this, especially darker beers that are bottle conditioned, they can age gracefully. I mean, they still are oxidizing. But in a beer like this, those oxidized notes can be like port-like or sherry-like and can really kind of make the beer more complex and interesting, whereas a pale beer, when it oxidizes, it just gets papery and cardboardy and stuff like that.
This Saturday at Urban Chestnut, you'll be tapping a few kegs of some real special beer. For the people who go, what kinds of beer will they have the chance to taste?
Now we got Beer de Hougoumont, which is kind of our take on a French beer de garde. I think we have Art of Darkness, which is like a strong Belgian dark. Duvel Rustica, which was our, you know, we're owned by Duvel Morgat in Belgium, and that's kind of our take on the famous Duvel beer, but a little bit rustic and farmhouse style.